He said, I know it looks bad, just have to wait. But get your folks are too broke to evacuate. Niggas starving and they dying of thirst. I really had to go and check on them.
Hi, everybody. We're on the phone with Saladin Muhammad. Are you with us, Saladin?
I'm here, man.
Nice to hear from you. This is Eric, man. How you been?
All right. Hanging in.
Okay. Well, first of all, I just learned introduction to both Saladin and his paper, his very important paper, Hurricane Katrina, The Black Nation's 9/11. I've known Saladin for about 20 years now, and he's been one of the founders and leaders of Black Workers for Justice. And he's been very interesting because he is both a revolutionary black nationalist, and what people don't understand is that black nationalism reaches out in a very progressive way towards Latinos, Asians, and poor whites in the South, and indigenous people in the South. And you've done some amazing work with a black-led United Front that's trying to also have a multiracial movement. I'm going to read the opening of... I remember back in the Schlage Lock days, you were doing work when I met you. He just published this on September 15th, 2005. The opening says, the magnitude of the destruction and human suffering caused by Hurricane Katrina to the people and communities of the Gulf Coast region, while not the result of an act of terror, is directly the result of a profit-driven system of capitalist exploitation reinforced by the national oppression of African-American people in the U.S. South, a region where the majority of black people live and where the conditions of oppression, poverty, and underdevelopment are most concentrated. My first question would be is that, as a person who in many ways is trying very hard to build the concept of national oppression, to build a left wing of the black liberation movement, to build a left wing of the black movement, and to do it in the heart of the South, which is with 20 million black people, it's been very difficult work. In many ways, you're a real transition from the 60s and 70s to the present. Tell me, what's it like holding out at times such a minority position, even inside the black community? And then we're going to segue into why your article is such an important contribution to this debate.
I think we first have to look at the development of working class or workplace type of organizations in the South. South has been very, very weak in terms of the development of the trade union movement. There have been some fighting trade unions, the tobacco workers, out of Winston-Salem, the Southern Tenant Farmers Union, in the 20s and 30s. The mine workers in Alabama. But by and large, the trade union movement has been very, very weak and very spotty. The types of grassroots organizations that have developed were grassroots organizations that were resisting national oppression, racism. But it was hard to make a distinction between a national oppression and class and working class exploitation, because vicious and rabid nature of the racist system against all black people pretty much in the South really came across as being more oppressive than what the general working class of whites was experiencing. For us, I guess you'd say holding out, we called ourselves, for example, when we formed a workplace-based community organization, because most of the working-class organizations saw themselves as community organizations. We always looked at where where we lived, where we worked as a part of a kind of a community. Whether we owned the land, whether we shared cropped the land, it was a community. So we had to define a working class organization, you know, within the context of the arena that people understood of their institutions. So we were pretty much by the bosses defined as trade unions. They would tell the workers, look, you better stay away from the Black Workers' Progressives because that's a union down there. So we are the class, the working class character that our organization developed reflected a character that understood the relationship between race and class.
That's good. And let me segue right quick into your demand around the United Nations, because I think, you know, in both the piece that I wrote, the piece that you wrote, and I want to ask you about what happened this weekend, you say here it's that it's very critical that demands be placed on the United Nations in terms of the Gulf Coast Survivors Justice and Reconstruction Petition to the United Nations should be launched to get survivors throughout the country to sign. This will begin political intervention among survivors throughout the country. This could also help in the process of organizing survivor councils. Press conferences and rallies could be organized. You know the idea, of course, from Du Bois and Robeson, We Cry Genocide, to Malcolm and now yourself and other people putting this forth. But this is very difficult, I think, for Black people to conceptualize, you know, not for all, but to conceptualize themselves as stepping outside of the civil rights paradigm. Do you think this can really happen? Do you think out of New Orleans that people could build a movement that would bring this case to the United Nations? And if so, how could they do it? How's that working?
Well, first of all, I think that that African American Black people in this country are losing confidence, major confidence in the so-called legal system or the governmental system in being honest and being just in addressing these problems. But I think that a tragedy here, where it's real clear that the government knew the danger that the people faced, that they had an exercise to demonstrate, you know, what a level 5 or even a level 4 hurricane could potentially do, had resources earlier allocated to address the problem, and then took the resources away. I think that people, you know, will begin to see that the government does not care, you know, whether the African American working class community and anybody around it lives or dies. And I think that it is this point, you know, which can help people to understand that, as Malcolm said, we have to take, you know, them to the world court. We have to call for the world to judge what happened and to recognize, you know, the plight of the African American people and working people, you know, for some real democracy and the need for fundamental change. So I think that it's this point here where the question of genocide is more sharply pointing its finger at the American system.
We're with Saladin Muhammad of the Black Workers for Justice. Saladin, you have 2 more minutes. Tell us, coming out of the meeting in South Carolina this weekend, I heard you played a very important leadership role, and you were talking about the role of national and international support. In 2 minutes, what could folks do if they wanted to help you? You know, not help you personally, but help the People's Hurricane Fund and help the movement of in New Orleans?
One is to build a national and international character to this movement. The meeting this weekend called for the formation of solidarity committees around the country to begin to help to organize the survivors and that have been evacuated to those cities, to help, you know, to reconnect them to a right of return assembly to be held in December, and to prepare to mobilize for a demonstration on December the 10th, Human Rights Day, into New Orleans. This need to show that it's not just a relief movement, you know, but it is a political and a human rights movement that's being a rally to all around this country, expressing outrage under the theme that what happened in New Orleans and the Gulf Coast is a crime against humanity. So we're calling on organizations to form a Gulf Coast solidarity committees in their cities and to try to unite with others to do that and begin to expand the struggle from the Gulf Coast region throughout the United States.
That sounds good. So this December 10th thing is pretty solid?
But yes, we believe it is. I mean, it was agreed to. It was probably 150 people at the meeting from all around the country, probably at least a quarter of them, if not a third of them, were evacuees from New Orleans, and after struggle, it was decided that that's what we need to do.
That sounds great. So while we're going to go to break, and you've just been with Saladin Muhammad. Saladin, really quickly, how can people get a copy of your excellent, excellent article? How do they reach you?
Well, I can give an email.
That's first. Good.
That's Saladin, Saladin, 62@AOL.com. Or you can write P.O. Box 934, Rocky Mount, North Carolina, 27802.
Sounds great. We'll be back in touch. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll be with Panama Alba, who's going to talk about the movement in Puerto Rico and the assassination of political leadership.